Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So today on the show, this morning, we have a fascinating story. And it's one that brings together sports, identity, global twists. And it concerns a guy by the name of Jake Glass. He's a Johannesburg-born Jewish guy, started playing rugby as a kid in Joburg, and is now making history as the first South African, at least I think he's the first South African, definitely the first Jew, to represent the Lithuania's National Rugby Union team in international rugby. So this is a guy that starts at Pirates, I think went through KES, if I'm not mistaken, university rugby, played in the US, now moved across to Europe onto the international stage. We wanted to talk about how a Jewish Joburger ended up pulling on a Lithuanian jersey, what it means to him, and how he manages all of these identities. Jake, welcome to Chai FM. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So was that right, though?
Yeah.
Are you the first South African and first Jew?
So actually, I'm not sure about first Jew.
Oh, really?
I'm definitely the first South African.
Oh, funny. I was confident the other way around.
Yeah, no, definitely okay. The first South African. Not sure about the first Jew, just given...
That's true. Given the history and probably people don't know, might not
exactly.
Even...
So the Lithuanian Federation, the Rugby Federation, was founded in 1961. I just checked this now, actually.
Right.
At the time, there were 24,000 Jews living in Lithuania. So maybe one of them played rugby.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure about the first Jew, but definitely the first South African.
So take us back to when you first picked up a rugby ball. You're in Joburg, you're what, 8 years old?
Yeah.
You could not, look, you probably you didn't know where Lithuania was at eight. No. You know, you probably didn't know where Cape Town was, but still. Could you ever imagine that, or maybe when did you start seeing that rugby could be part of your future?
Yeah, so the journey I went on is quite unconventional. My dad was a massive rugby fan, and that kind of
he
pushed me into starting to play. Throughout the junior levels, all the way through, I mean, I was under nines when I first started. We don't really play serious rugby until high school here.
Yeah.
I was actually at King David before I went to KES at Victory Park. So in about 2012 was when the rugby started turning serious, and I was invited to play for like a Lions under 16 invitational side, and I played first team at King David in grade 10. At that sort of moment was when I decided, okay, maybe I can kind
you
of
need
take
to do
this
more seriously.
Take this further.
Yes.
And that's when I decided to move to KES in the beginning of grade 11, played first team there as well. So,
but even then, as a Jew, it must have been a bit unusual.
Yeah, there was actually...
There were a crew. There had been sort of a smattering of Jewish sports people over the years.
Yeah, I mean, we know the story of the Tigers.
The Tigers, yes.
Exactly. So there's a good Jewish history of sportsmen at KES, like Ali Bacher, those types of guys. So... Yeah, I mean, that's when I kind of decided, yeah, maybe I can turn this into something. The dream was always actually to kind of go pro. When I was studying in the States, which was also through rugby, I mean, it's open doors everywhere, fell in love with finance like a good Jewish boy.
Because you can't help who you are.
Yeah, exactly. So I landed up actually just deciding to play more socially and pursuing my degree and working in the field. And then when I moved back to South Africa from L.A., I started playing again, and the passion kind of came back. And then this just kind of naturally, I'd say organically, just happened.
Do you think that's partly because, you know, although you could play rugby in the States, it's certainly not the same, it's not a national religion as it is here.
Yeah, so...
Here it's part of our identity. It's
exactly.
Part of being a South African.
It's growing a bit there. The next World Cup after 2027 is in the US.
Okay.
It's in 2031.
Yes.
So they're trying to grow it, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, you can land in any city. Let's say rugby as an example, land in any city around the world and start playing, join a team, you immediately make friends. So for me, it was always just an avenue into meeting people, and that's when
a door opener, always.
When I landed in LA, it was more of a social thing. I was playing in Santa Monica. There's guys from all over the world. They come in on a holiday visa, work cash jobs, and play rugby. That was their thing. So...
Right.
It was a very cool experience. And then the Lithuania It's been an interesting journey.
I just want to understand that. Well, sure. What opened the door for sure. Lithuania? Was it so ancestry?
Yeah. So my great grandmother was born in Rokiškis.
Okay.
My dad was actually in Lithuania with me now to do a bit of the history.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah. It must be very...
It was cool.
Another angle to it, which must be really interesting.
So he went to like Rokiškis to try and track the family roots and see if there's anything about us. Mm. I think it was a very small like shtetl. There's not really any history left there. So a bit disappointing in that sense. But historically, it's like... I mean, there's obviously a lot of Jewish history there. So we did, when I wasn't training, we were doing some Jewish history stuff. It was very cool. I got the passport, it must have been 2021. I actually wasn't playing rugby at the time. I started playing again end of 22, I believe. And from there, I just was like, I've got the passport, let me engage with these guys, or just let them know I kind of exist. And started speaking to them. And they went through probably 5 or 6 coaching changes in the 2 years that I was speaking to them. Just, I guess they were going through administration issues.
Right.
And then we were going to Europe anyway to watch the Springboks in Dublin.
Right.
My wife's on an Irish passport, so went to go see where
Pop
she's
international,
from.
International, the two of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't play for Ireland, yeah.
Exactly. Went to go see where she was from, and we landed up intercepting the Springboks on the weekend that they were playing Ireland. So... Because I had already booked the trip to Europe, I essentially just phoned them and said, look, I'm coming to Europe.
Mm.
Do you want me? They were playing Denmark on the 15th and were supposed to leave here on the 19th. So I said, do I come earlier and practice and play with you guys? Or am I just dropping this? And they said, no, come, we'll put you up and do all the meals, etc. So,
And what's it been like socially with the team, with... with language, it's got to be so, so different and such a challenge in many ways, good and bad.
The language barrier was intense. I think culture shock is a good way to put it. I was a little bit of culture shock in the first couple of days just with the team. I guess rugby is quite universal in the sense that the system that they were running on in the national team, there's the same system that we run at my club here at Wanderers.
Mm.
So to insert, it's just the calls and stuff that they would use were a little bit different to what we would use here, obviously, but systematically it's the same concept. So it was fine in that aspect. I could insert and do drills, etc., pretty easily, just from an IQ standpoint. But... conversationally, almost impossible. I think it's the least English I've spoken in my whole life was that week with the team.
So are you the only international player on
the team? They had one guy before, he wasn't with us on this tour, but he's Argentinian.
Mm-hmm.
He's played for them, and there's one guy who lived in England that flew in for the weekend to play. But they're all properly Lithuanian. They just now live overseas.
Right. So when they come back, they're not looking to find somebody who speaks English. Yeah. They revert to their home language. And in terms of the Jewish aspect of it?
There's a lot of history, as I said. They've just built, the Litvaks actually just built an amazing museum in a place called Stuva, mm-hmm. which is it's called the Lost Shtetl. It was a very prominent Jewish area. So we went to do that tour, which was very cool. There's obviously, I think they called Vilnius the Jerusalem of the North, if I'm not mistaken, back in the day. So there's a lot of learnings and a lot of history there that we went to go look at. And then on the team, I don't think most of them have any Jewish friends.
Yeah,
I think the Jewish population now is 2,000 people. So
is there a sensitivity to it, or is it just a non-factor for them?
I don't think if you're saying is there any anti-Semitism or stuff along those lines.
Yeah, but I don't even mean that. I mean, because anti-Semitism is that they don't like Jews.
Yeah.
But is there maybe they just don't know Jews? Is there a discomfort? Is there a or is it just
I think
a
it was
non?
A bit, yeah, a bit of shock for them, a Jewish Lithuanian South African kid.
It is a bit of a shock to us too.
Yeah, exactly.
And we are South African and Jewish.
Yeah, exactly. So. For them, it was probably a little bit of a shock, and they were kind of who is this guy? And that like falls back into what I was saying about like the team. I think you almost had to like prove to them who you are before they'd open themselves up. So for the like two practices that we had before we went to Denmark to play, it was very like no engagement from the rest of the team toward me. And then as soon as the game finished and I'd played and they'd seen my like ability to play and, you know, like make hits for the
team.
He's
not here because...
Yeah, exactly. It's also like he's here to play for us, not just for shits and giggles.
You're right, exactly. It was your great-grandmother, right?
On my dad's side, yeah.
Do you ever think what she would think about you playing for Lithuania? And it's fascinating because if I think about my own grandparents, they fled Germany. And I think they'd be very proud if even though they fled Germany, I think they would still be proud. So I just wonder, but I don't know if it was quite the same in that region because it's, you know, they dealt with obviously different things. What do you think she would feel?
I think she'd be a bit shocked as well. Like what she went through the effort of getting on a boat and traveling for and 3 months.
This idiot goes back. Yeah, what is wrong with this guy?
Exactly. I think she'd be proud.
I think so. I would imagine.
As I said, I think she'd be a bit shocked as well.
Yeah. What was you recently played right? It was at
the
Denmark.
15th, yeah, in Denmark.
What was your... You walk out onto the field for the first time wearing Lithuanian colours. Were you thinking about what this meant or were you just rugby focused?
So I think if we rewind a little bit, I mean, we arrived at the field. So we played in Aalborg in Denmark, which is like super north, right by Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And half the field was still frozen at 1 p.m. So they actually made us line up in a row of 15 people and stomp the ice off the field. So my first take was, what am I doing here? And then how am I going to play on this?
Mm.
And then once you kind of get over that and you've warmed up and it's all good, there was an element of like, am I out of place? I mean, you always watch the Springboks, you know, singing the national anthem and stuff. And then you're standing in line with Lithuania and they're singing their national anthem and you can't just...
You have to learn it. Did you have to learn it?
No.
What?
I mean, like...
What? They have no standards.
They sing it, but I couldn't... Like, the language... As I said, it's the language barrier is just hectic. I mean, I don't normally play hooker.
Right.
Don't know how much you know about rugby, but...
Zero.
So hooker's the guy that would throw the ball into the line out.
Right.
And I don't normally play hooker, and they played me at hooker for the game, but I couldn't even throw the line outs because of the language barrier. Like, I can't understand where the calls are. That's how big the gap is. So,
I would have thought on an international level that there would be almost a universal language.
So we could have used English without a doubt, but I think to change
them,
your plays for one person that's not super critical to the system, like... At least in that aspect of the game, we don't need to really do that. So they just kind of switched me out, someone else through, and I just stood in his position.
Incredible.
And we just played through it. So,
what is the commitment like?
Yeah, so for a national team, you got to almost think of it as like a club side here. Okay. I mean, I think the level is lower than like our first team at Wanderers.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, they also, like, they don't get a lot of funding. I mean, the biggest sport in Lithuania is basketball. Basketball gets all the funding. I think they have 5 guys in the NBA in America, which is, like, a crazy statistic.
Right.
So the Rugby Federation doesn't have a lot of money. So for them, it's like guys are working, playing on top of jobs. So it's difficult. Like, the two practices I was there for, we had different players every night because, first of all, it's 2.5 hours away from Vilnius.
Wow.
So some of the guys are driving 5 hours a day to get to practice to train with the team. And if you're working late or something, you can't make that commitment. So it was interesting. It was, very similar to like a club style setup where you kind of just work with what you've got. But as I said, like, they're rebuilding. They've got a new coach in who's a professional player from Italy. They've got an assistant coach who's also the flower from the team. So you can tell that they're trying to build something. They just need time, you know. It's obviously quite cyclical, so they're probably in the bottom of like the trough now, trying to work their way out of it and stay up. I think we've lost 3 on the trot now, and it's just because of They haven't fielded the same team in three games because they're having an issue with players. Like a lot of the older guys have left the team now, and they've got young blood like coming through. So
which is positive, but until then, they gel, it takes time until they work as a work as a team.
So it takes time to be able to kind of vet the young bloods, and it's the same with any sport and any team. If you're getting a lot of older heads stepping away and these young guys coming in, there is a rebuilding phase. Like even in championship teams, the same thing happens.
An important part of being a part of this team, of any team, is the support.
Yeah.
Support of the team, support of the of everybody around. Did you feel that support? I know you said in the beginning they were like, you know, who is this guy? Did you feel that they were there for you if you needed it and wanted you to succeed?
Yeah, for sure. Like the guys involved in the logistics behind me coming and the guys that knew my rugby background, very supportive from the get-go. It's just kind of the odd player who, as I said, doesn't know who this guy is, was probably more, I wouldn't say not supportive, but probably more like hesitant to engage.
Yes.
And maybe a bit threatened, you know, guys in positions. There's a new kid now who's coming for the same position. Like, why am I going to open myself up to him, you know?
And maybe, you know, maybe he's opening a floodgate of other international players that'll...
I mean, it's an interesting point. We spoke into them. There must be a bunch of other guys playing rugby here on Lithuanian passports. Like, if anyone's listening to this, reach out to me because we can set something
up. That actually is one of my one of the things like I was thinking about is we have to have, you know, many people, many South African Jews largely came from Lithuania, maybe a bit less Latvia.
Yeah, and Poland.
But Lithuania is definitely a good portion of them. If somebody's talented and interested in it, would you recommend it?
Would you say? I mean, the experience was amazing all around. There's probably... I don't know how many people can say they're internationally capped. Obviously, it's not it's not the Springboks, but you still got your international colours.
100%.
A lot of the guys have played for Israel. Yeah. I know a lot of the boys have got an Israeli colours. But yeah, I mean, if
are you precluded? How does it? I think I read somewhere that once you've played for an international team, you can't sort of just switch.
Yeah, you have to wait. If I think it's 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so if I've been capped now, I'd have to wait till 2028 to change allegiance.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, just going back to that, like they would love for more players to come across. Like we kind of did this, and we've said to them like, this could be a pilot type of program. Like, if this works, there's got to be more guys in South Africa on a similar journey or have played rugby or are currently playing rugby that could insert in the team and add value. So,
if you know of anybody, if you are one of those people, let us know. We'll put you in contact with Jake. 0618951019. If you're listening or if you know somebody who actually could qualify, who is passionate and talented, passion, you can be a spectator. at least have a little bit of talent, and then we'll put you in contact. It's just an incredible journey that you've been on. Where does it go from here?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Going back to when I wanted to be a professional rugby player, and I changed my mind and followed finance.
Yeah.
It was always due to earning potential and salary constraints. So as I was in Lithuania, I'm still working remotely, you know, like working a full-time job. So it's difficult to really know where rugby takes me. I'd love to try and leverage this into at least a pro trial with the team and give it a bash, you know. I don't want to be 60 and think, shit, I should have done that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, that's probably the next steps.
A couple of messages. Okay, Anton wants to know what position. Well, we know about
I normally play Lucid, prop number one. They moved me to hooker for the game, yeah.
Yep, so I hope that answers that. And is your guest a forward or backline player? You can see the rugby players. Yeah, they want those details. And it must be so frustrating having somebody like me interviewing you. Because I'm talking about the culture and integration and language and all sorts of things. But people just want to talk rugby. Yids, Jews and rugby. How many Jewish mothers would even allow that?
Yeah, so my mom, when I first started playing rugby, she'd come on and watch.
Yeah.
And she used to watch through her fingers.
Yeah, exactly. I would imagine.
Because she just couldn't watch like the.
Yeah, that head is for finance, exactly, not for. Exactly.
So I mean, yeah, she got used to it towards the, the longer playing stints.
And this is following a dream, you know. Yeah, what? That's cool. How many people have the talent, the drive, and the ability to achieve this? It's such an incredible journey that you have been on, and it's been absolutely fascinating to chat to you. Jake Glass is a Jewish South African rugby player who plays for Lithuania. He's been in studio. Jake, thank you. For joining us. Thank
Thanks
you for being
me.
Here. An absolute privilege to chat to you and to hear your story first.